In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
In 1 month, the trees of northern Indiana will appear as if they have been cursed by Jesus on his way to Bethany. We don't need any special knowledge to understand why they look the way they do. It's that time of year. Winter is coming, the darkness gathers, death is all around us. Strap in for a season of dark days and cold nights. Peter did not have the same clarity about the meaning of the withered fig tree Jesus cursed on that morning during Holy Week. Jesus was hungry when he first passed by that fig tree, the one that had no figs to eat. And so he curses that tree that bears him no fruit. Let no one ever eat from you again. And the disciples heard him. All would be well in interpreting this little scene if the story ended here. The meaning would be clear. The fig tree is a parable of faithless Israel bearing no fruit. What C.S. Lewis classifies as a miracle of the old creation. And he calls the withering of the fig tree Christ's single miracle of destruction, repeating small and close what God does constantly and throughout nature. Did not Jesus tell a parable about a fig tree in Luke 13? One commentator I know well said this: both a vineyard and a fig tree are common Old Testament metaphors for Israel. Well said. All would be well if the story ended here, but it doesn't. Mark adds this comment: Jesus did not find anything on it except leaves, for it was not the season for figs. Not the season for figs. What's going on here, Jesus? Give the fig tree a break. How could it be expected to bear fruit when it was not the season for figs? Why curse the fig tree, withering it to its roots, because it was just doing what fig trees do when it's not the season for figs? It was not the season for figs because the fig tree did not know the time of his visitation. There are traditions among the rabbis that speak of the sadness of creation after Adam's fall from grace. Those same traditions speak of a barren tree as a sign of the fall of Adam. Those same rabbis suggest that the forbidden tree and its fruit in the Garden of Eden was a fig tree. The withering of a plant is a sign that the new era of salvation has not yet come. By his withering curse, Jesus is simply acknowledging that the fig tree will not bear fruit until the new age comes. Or what Jesus says a little later on: when you see the abomination of desolation standing where he should not be, let the reader understand. When that happens on a tree planted outside Jerusalem, when the whole world becomes dark and withers to its roots, and when on the third day, that man nailed to that tree rises from the dead, only then will the messianic age fully dawn, the age of blessings. Only then will it be the season for figs, when the earth will produce abundantly, when there will be miraculous growth of the seeds that Jesus spoke of in those parables, seeds that will grow into plants that will overflow in the superabundance of the age to come. As Isaiah says of that age, "Behold, I am doing a new thing. I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Behold, I create new heavens and a new earth. They shall plant vineyards and eat their fruit." Have the faithfulness of God, Jesus tells his disciples. The faithfulness that allowed him to be planted on that tree outside Jerusalem. Such faith caused the Temple Mount to be lifted up and thrown into the sea. Such faith caused the kingdom of God to come. Such faith allows the Holy of Holies to be wherever the crucified, risen, and ascended body of Jesus dwells with all its fruit. Therefore, we pray for such faithfulness. Faithfulness that prays, "Our Father, who art in heaven, forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us." Then, and only then, will it be the season for figs. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.